Look with me in Genesis chapter 45, if you will, Genesis 45. And while you're turning, if you'd pray for me in body, I am tired. I'm not going to lie to you. I am tired in body. We just need the Lord to help us. And He will. He's faithful. Amen. But let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness, Your love and care for us. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for the privilege to stand behind this sacred desk. Lord, I pray that You'd help me now. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Help me, Lord, to preach that You've laid on my heart, to convey it to Your people. Lord, that You'd speak to us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You understand in this passage of Genesis chapter 45 that Joseph, Jacob's son, has been declared dead. As far as Jacob knows, Joseph is dead. Joseph, all the dreams that Jacob had, all the promises that Jacob had believed, are now in Joseph's mind, in Jacob's mind. All those dreams for Joseph have died. They've gone. And I don't know about you, but I have experienced what it is to have a dream die. And you feel like your hopes and the dreams, the desires that you had, the ambitions of life, to have those things to die, to not see hope, not see way for those to ever come to fruition ever again. But have you ever experienced where that hope and dream died and in your mind and in your heart, and then God revive it and bring it around? Boy, if you ever experience that, there's nothing like it. And God can do that, and often does do that, in the hearts and minds and lives of His people. And I want to look for a little while at that very thing happening concerning Jacob. Look with me in verse number 17. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lay your beast, and go, and get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat of the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt, for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours." And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and said unto them, "See that ye fall not out by the way." Boy, a lot of preaching could be done right there. Amen. I want to encourage you, Cazadell, see that you fall not out by the way. Amen. Hey, stay with the stuff. Keep the journey. Stay where you're supposed to stay. Amen. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, "Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." I want to preach on this thought for just a few minutes. We'll not be long this evening, but I want to preach for a few minutes on, hey, what's in them wagons? I'm interested in them wagons this evening. I'm glad that Joseph's alive. I'm glad that dreams are still alive, and they may seem dead, and it may seem like there's no hope, but I want to tell you, if God has birthed it and placed it in your heart, you can count on it coming to fruition. If God has placed it in your heart, there's one thing to have hopes, have dreams, have desires, but when God places those hopes, those dreams, those desires in your heart, they won't die. They'll live on. It may take a while before you see them come up. It may take a while before you see them come to action, but just keep trusting God, keep following God, do what He tells you to do, seek after Him with your whole heart, and watch and see God bring things around, and you'll be just like Jacob was. You'll be revived in your spirit. Amen. I notice here, look with me up here, says he's in verse 17, he said, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, saying to thy brethren, this do ye, lay your your beast and go and get unto the land of Canaan. Take your father and your household and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat of the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take the wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. He said, also regard not your stuff. He said, don't worry about anything, you just go. Amen. I believe when Jacob seen the wagons, one of the things I believe he saw people in the wagons. Thank God for, you know what those people are? Those people are a type of grace. Thank God for the grace of God that God has placed in our lives. You just keep trucking on. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. You just keep following the Lord and watch and see if God don't put people in your life that'll be a blessing and an encouragement and a help to you. Hey, I've been around people. I've been in church for a long time. Not as long as some of you, but I've been in church a long time. And what I have found in church, Brother Jake, I have found that some of the meanest people I've ever met have sat on church pews. Some of the meanest, most hateful people I've ever met. Some of the horror stories I have in my life have to do with church people. But on the other hand, some of the sweetest, most kind, wonderful, gracious, sweet people I've ever met have been God's people. And there is a difference. Church people aren't always God's people, but God's people ought to always be church people. Amen. Thank God for that. But God will put people in your life that'll help you down the road. Don't discount the people that God places in your life. Boy, I'm telling you, you ever been hurt? You've been just wounded in your spirit. You've been wounded. You've been hurt. And God will send somebody with a word of encouragement, a word of help that you needed at that moment, in that place and time. Hey, if you'll stay faithful, God will send a wagon load of people. Can I say this? And I ain't trying to pump you up. Y'all have been a wagon load of people for me and my family. I thank God for y'all. Y'all don't even know, some of you didn't even got a clue what y'all mean to me and my family. Y'all been refreshing, just your smile, just your kindness, just your hospitality, just joy to be around you. You've been a refreshment to me and my family. Y'all been people in the wagon that God sent my way. Can I tell you, God will send people for you. You might be people that God wants to send to somebody else in a wagon sent for them. You need to be ready and waiting and able to let God use you and to fill somebody's wagon. Not only do I see people in the wagon, look with me in verse number 21. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. I thank God for the provisions that God places in the wagons that He sends our way. Boy, you remember the days, and some of you may be in them now. You remember the days where you didn't have two pennies to rub together, and you're wondering how in the world you're going to make things work out. You're wondering how in the world all the troubles and all the heartaches of life are going to work out. But God sends provisions in a way that you didn't see possible, through a path that you didn't see available. God sends provisions, and God will send provisions in wagons that you ain't looking for. God will send provisions in wagons that you ain't been waiting on because you thought all hope was gone. You thought there was just no way, and then suddenly, without warning, without any further advance notice, God sends provisions for your life. That's in wagons and blessings of those wagons. Thank God for wagons. I want some wagons that are loaded down. I'll be honest with you, I like loaded wagons. We talk about getting your wagon loaded. Man, I get my wagon loaded at the house of God. That's where you'll get your wagons loaded. God will provide for your spiritual needs at the house of God. That's why you don't miss. That's why you don't lay out. That's why you don't just say, hey, well, I ain't going to go because I don't feel like it. No, you get up and you go because God's got wagons waiting on you in the Word of God, through the Word of God, through the preaching that'll help you lift your spirits. You say, well, preacher, I can study at home, and I can get the Word of God at home, and I can, this time of year, I can meet with God in the deer stand, and I can meet with God out at the fishing hole. I can meet with God here. I can meet with God there. Hey, you might can, but God will meet with you at the house of God. That's where God has designated and designed that He meets with His people, and I want to be where God's at. I don't want to have to hunt for Him. I want to go where I know He is. And where I know He is at the house of God. Amen. And that's where you'll find the provisions that you need, the wagons that you need. Amen. Thank God for the provisions that we find in the wagons. I'm glad for the provisions. I'm glad that God has provided and sustained each one of us in times of despair, in times of distraught, in times of worry, in times of fear. God's provisions have been abundant in our life. And I want to look at that here in verse number 22. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Thank God Benjamin got a blessing. Amen. Thank God for Benjamin. Boy, a lot of preaching could be done right there about old Benjamin getting a blessing. I'm glad that when others get a blessing from God, it encourages me when I see somebody else have the hand of God rest on them and they get blessed by God. It encourages me to see somebody else enjoy the provisions and the grace of God on their life, because when I see it on somebody else, it reminds me that when I go through troubles, when I go through trials, God will be there for me just like he is for them. I'm glad he's no respecter of persons. Amen. He cares about you. He cares about me. I'm thankful I don't have to look, and I'm glad we can, but I'm glad I don't have to look way back in the Old Testament and say, God bless that one and God bless this one. But I'm glad in 2022 I can look around at Cazadale Baptist Temple and say, God's blessed this one and God's blessed that one and God's blessed that one. And if God's done it for them, maybe, just maybe, he'll do it for me. Thank God. Hey, there's plenty in them wagons. And to his father, verse 23, he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father. By the way, I'm glad we serve a God who's not just able to provide people in our lives to help us, not just able to provide provisions for our life that'll help us, but he's able to provide plenty in our lives to help us. Amen. That speaks to the goodness of God. You realize we serve a good God this evening. I'm talking about a great God, a wonderful God, a precious God. I don't know what you're facing. I heard the prayer request and we're praying for you, but I'm telling you, it's good to know that we serve a good, good God who cares about our needs. And he's not just that he cares, but he's able to do something about it, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I'm thankful for the good provisions of God, but I'm thankful for the plentiful provisions of God. He's able. Amen. He's able. He says, cast all your care. Not just a couple of them. Not just some of them. Not just the things that we deem to be important, but all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. I'm glad he cares for you. I'm glad he's concerned about you. It don't matter how insignificant the need, I feel it is. There's a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, you may not be this way, but I am, and it's probably my pride. I'll confess that, and most likely that's what it is. I have something going on in my life that bothers me, but I won't share it with nobody. I keep it bottled up, and that's okay. But sometimes it's good to just share our burdens and share our cares so others can join with us in prayer. But that just seems so insignificant. I can't ask people to pray about that. I can't ask people to help me pray about that. Why not? Why not? Then we find ourselves, I can't talk to God. God's got too much on his plate. Like, we've got God figured out. Like, we know what he's got going on. And we put him on the plane of men. Yeah. Right. You can't put too much on him. He created the universe. He created all that's been created, was created by him. And we worry about troubling him with our little, what we deem insignificant matters. God cares about the small things in your life. Not just the big ones, but those small things. He cares about those things. Take everything to God in prayer. Amen. Pray about everything and take it to him. He's able to provide, and he's able to provide plenty if we'll just seek after him. I'm glad that Jacob saw the wagons coming. Boy, can you imagine what it must have been like? You imagine how it must have been. Here he thinks Joseph's dead. Here he thinks Joseph's gone. He's thinking, man, he's gone. All I've got is these other sons that are left. But, man, I miss Joseph, and Joseph's gone, and I'll never see Joseph again. But then the wagons come. I don't know about you. I don't know how it worked. And preacher, I hope it's okay to say it this way. I don't see it in Scripture. I'm speculating here, and that's why I got out of the pulpit. I didn't want to speculate up there. I'm too afraid to speculate up there. But speculating, I would say that Jacob said, hey, you see what all God's blessed me with? Boy, I'll never eat all this bread. I'll never eat all this meat. I can't wear all these clothes. I can't spend all this silver. But I got some family that's got needs. I know some others that's got needs. Boy, when you realize how God's blessed you and how God's helped you, you don't mind helping others. You don't mind being encouraged by others. Matter of fact, you want to. If you got the Spirit of God living in you, you want to. You want to share the blessings of God. Can you imagine? I don't see this in the text. Just pardon me for a little while. I am using my imagination, but I can't see where I'm wrong either, all right? I just imagine. There's been a famine in the land. You understand that? There's been a famine in the land. They're starving out, and they have no hope. I can't imagine Jacob saying, well, me and my family's fine. We just going to truck on down to Egypt and enjoy the blessings and good things of God. I imagine Jacob said, hey, here's some bread, folks. Here's some meat. Man, this will make some good cornbread. Here you go. Here's your steak, by the way, and helping them out as they go on their journey to Egypt. And all the while he's saying, let me tell you who provided this for me. Let me tell you who gave this to me. Let me tell you who passed on this to me, and I want to pass some of this blessing on to you. Hey, you won't have any trouble passing out a gospel tract. You won't have any trouble giving the gospel when you realize the wagons that God's blessed you with, the wagon of salvation that loaded your soul. You won't have a problem sharing it with others and saying, let me tell you about the God I serve. Let me tell you about my great King who's provided all for me, and he'll give and provide for you if you'll trust him. And blessings of those wagons. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing in the world like enjoying the benefits of the wagons that God sent your way. Your wagon may look different than my wagon. Everybody didn't have 3,000 pieces of silver, but Benjamin did. Amen. Everybody didn't have extra raiment, but Benjamin did. God will load your wagon with what you need. He'll load my wagon what I need. Hey, and the danger we have to watch out for is not to look and say, well, I didn't get that in my wagon. I wanted Reese's cup, and they gave me Snickers. I wanted this, but God gave me that. Hey, be grateful for what you got. Remember, if it wasn't for the goodness of God, we wouldn't have it anyway. If it wasn't for the graciousness of God, we wouldn't have it anyway. Be careful. Look, say, well, God's blessing your church over yonder, and man, they're growing, and look at what's going on down the road. No, God's loading their wagon. You worry about what's in yours. Thank God for the wagon full of people. Thank God for the wagon full of provisions, the wagon full of plenty that God's blessed you with collectively as a church. But individually, be thankful for the wagon God's given you. It's easy to look at everything else going on, what everybody else is going on, and we forget the famine we just come out of. We forget the hard times. We forget when it was difficult. We forget when we struggled. But oh, thank God, he's not forgot about us. Amen. And he sent us what we need right when we need it. Right on time. I'm glad they used to sing this old country singing church that I grew up in. You sang God's an on-time God. Right. Said he may not come when you call him, but he'll be on time. Right. Amen. We like to put God in a box, don't we? Right. Say, God, this is what I need, and this is how I need it, and this is when I need it. Lord, this what do just what I've asked you, Lord. I think about old Mary and Martha. They didn't know a wagon was coming. They had no idea what was coming down the road. All they seen was their brother was dead, and if Jesus had been there, he wouldn't have allowed that to happen. It may just be that God's letting you go through trouble and heartache and trials so that he can show himself mighty, not just to you, but those around you. And all praise has to go to him. It can't be, well, he did it because it was his friend. Well, he did it just, you know, God, it was going to happen anyway. No, when there's no hope, when we ain't got a plan, we ain't got it figured out, we don't know what to do next, and God shows up and provides what we need, there's no other way than to say, God did this thing. Don't get discouraged. We would never say it. Brother James would never verbally say it. But I think if we was honest, we'd have to say there's been times we've been disappointed in Jesus. We wouldn't say it. Even say me saying it, some of you cringed. Mary and Martha were. The crowds were. And you look over there, the crowd saying, we thought he loved him. He let him die. And then here comes Lazarus out of the grave.
Amen.
Then comes something they didn't expect.
Right.
Something they even opposed. Don't roll the stone away. That man stinks.
Right.
Don't open that grave. We don't want to experience that. God may take you through a path to get to your wagon or to be able to send that wagon to you. Be careful to oppose the will of God. Be careful to not, let me say it that way, to not oppose the will of God. We get resistant. When God takes us out of our comfort zone, I often wonder what Joseph's brothers must have thought. A lot of it's laid out in the text. You go back and read, a lot of it's laid out in the text what they thought. They didn't know what had happened to Joseph. Far as they knew, he's gone. Slavery that they sold him into, trouble that they gave him up to, had killed him as far as they knew. And here he is, offering hope to them. I think about, to complete my thought here, I think about old John Mark. Man, John Mark looks like he's washed up. Looks like he's gone. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, bring Mark with you. He's profitable to me for the ministry. Be careful about shutting people out of your life. Don't ever slam a door so tight that you won't allow God to open it. God may let people who have hurt you, abused you, forsaken you, destroyed their testimony with you, turn around one day and be a blessing and a help to you. I had a preacher hurt me years ago. Years ago. It happens, all right? Let's just be honest, it happens. It happens in church. Unintentional, I have to think it's unintentional, because if I think it's intentional, then that brings up a whole different concern for me. But unintentional hurt. I'm going to fast forward. That was 25 years ago. He called me last year. Messed his life up out of the ministry. I was sitting at the house like Eeyore. Phone ring and I'd answer, thanks for noticing. I was low. I just discouraged and defeated. The phone ring, it was him. His new wife, uncle, lived in Glasgow. And he's up in the hospital dying. They said, can you go? There wasn't anything in me that said, no, I can't. Yeah, I'll go. Man, need to be saved. God let a hurt way back here that I held on to. I did. And I enjoyed holding on to it. My flesh enjoyed holding on to it. And anytime I seen him, enjoyed holding it over his head. My flesh, I'm telling you. My flesh. But God helped me through the years to forgive him and to get things right with him. You say, well, he hurt you? Yeah, he did. But I had done him wrong by holding that grudge over his head. Then God let me go and see his uncle by marriage and lead that man to the Lord. If I'd slammed that door shut so tight, it'd be a man in hell tonight over my refusal to let God load my wagon with a blessing. Watch for ways that God's got a wagon coming your way. Don't let the brush build up. Keep the path open. Don't slam the door shut. Keep the door open. No telling what God's got down the road for you. And you don't know when it's coming. It may be tomorrow. It may be tonight. It may be months or years down the road. But just keep waiting on God. Keep in the place that God's got you. Stay where God's got you and watch and see if God don't send a wagon. I keep saying wagon. The King James Bible says wagons. Wagons. Whole lot more than you think you need. No telling when it's coming. Church, I'm praying for you. Again, I don't know all the burdens, but we are praying for you. Praying, God, I want to see God bless your socks off. I ain't talking about some prosperity gospel. You understand that?
Right.
I'm talking about a good God being good to his people. I want to see God bless you and help you and encourage you. I know there's hurts. I know you've suffered loss and heartache and pain. And our family's praying that God will just send a whole heap of wagons to Kazadale. Send it by your house, amen. Let your neighbors see it. Let your family see it. Let your friends see it. That they have to say the God of heaven, the God they serve, has blessed them. The God that they talk about, the Lord Jesus has abundantly blessed them. What a testimony. But if you give up, and if you quit, and if you don't stay in your place, you may just miss it. I'm glad Jacob was home. Amen. Glad Jacob was where he's supposed to be. Keep waiting on your wagon, church.